Welcome, Abundant Babe. I have been waiting for you, and I get the feeling I know you pretty well already. Because like me, you are the visionary, the eternal optimist, the one who embraces all aspects of her divine feminine while being grounded with ambitious and driven energy. You've got big dreams, and you're ready to make it all happen. Well, let me tell you, soul sister, you've come to the right place. The Abundant Babe podcast is designed for goddesses just like you. We will talk about purposeful business, personal growth, mindset, money, manifestation, success, goals, all with a splash of spirituality and a tad of silliness. I know you've got it in you, and now is the time, beautiful. Trust in yourself and take action on what myself and other Abundant Babes share in this sacred space. And believe me, babe, your life will continue to change and expand. I'm your host, Viola Hug, multi-passionate entrepreneur, mentor, and coach. And my purpose is to help visionaries manifest everything they want through alignment, spirituality, and tangible strategy. It is so great to have you here. Now let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome back to the Abundant Babes podcast. This is your host, Viola Hug, and I'm here with a beautiful guest today. And we're going to be talking about some really fun stuff, diving into health and stress and that whole journey. Because as all of you Abundant Babes know, that health is like a huge foundation to life, of like anything you want to do in life. And having a lot of energy and vibrant health is really so important at such a core level, because it's the foundation to how we're going to move through life, right? So such an important aspect. And I really wanted this guest to come on because she's actually like skilled and a kind of like a genius when it comes to helping busier people. So Crystal, welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here on your show. This is awesome.
Yes. So Crystal's an empowerment coach and life balancing strategist who, like I said, works with busier women to transform their overworked lives to a blissful work-life balance by elevating their food, feelings, and fitness, which is, I think, so needed in this world. And so I'm really excited for this conversation. But Crystal, do you want to give like a little bit more of like a personal introduction? Like, who are you? Who are you really? Let's get to know you a little bit more.
Yeah. So as you said, I'm an empowerment coach and life balancing strategist, but I'm also somebody who works a 9-to-5. I have my own health coaching business on the side and I model. So I juggle a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've just been on a health journey that started, like 20 years ago. Like, I've just been doing this my whole life, right? Figuring mm-hmm. out how to feel my optimal best at all times. And mm-hmm. it's fun. Like, I honestly love figuring out how to be healthy. It's just weird. I don't know.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, one of the things that happens, and this is what I really want people to understand, is that once you feel good, like once you feel really, really good, life is just different. Mm. Every day is just different. It's like waking up every day in a good mood. It's manifesting the things in your life that you've always wanted. It's having the most amazing relationships. Like, it's not feeling tired or drained at all. And it's so much in our control, in a sense.
Yeah. And you know what's like so crazy about that is that so many people, because it's so common to wake up and still be tired, it's so common to have a sore stomach, it's so common to have blah, 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 that people think it's normal, but it's not. Like, our default state, who we are at our most, you know, pure human level, is actually that what you were just describing, like someone with vibrant energy who like wakes up and their eyes bing open and they're like excited for the day. And, you know, that's actually our default state.
Yes. And that's what's so crucial. And that's what makes me sad, is that so many people don't realize that they're settling. Like, they're settling for how they feel in their body, this sluggish feeling or these confused thoughts or, you know, like pain after you eat. Like, as you're saying, that stuff's not normal.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. And I love as well that you said that it's like kind of like the foundation to like being able to manifest better and experience more joy in your life, because I actually have a program as well that's like a self-study course called You Glow Girl. And it is exactly on this, because one of the things that I found, like, as I mean, a lot of the Abundant Babes know my journey, but I like started off in health and then I moved more into entrepreneurship and then kind of, you know, I'm a little bit more like business heavy in that sense, but really holistic overall. And one of the like main foundations is that if you think about it, like you can light all the incense you want, like put your crystals under the moon and like manifest away, call on the archangels. But if your physical being is at a lower vibration because of its health or the way that it's being treated or anything, then it's kind of like the foundational level of like the max capacity you'll have to raise your own physical vibration and your energy, because there's, you know, it's our physical body. It's the housing that we live within. So it's like such an important aspect for all of that as well. So I love that you have that mindset as well. Yes. So I would love to hear, like, so what exactly happened with your health journey? Like when did you realize that things may not be as good as they should be, and what triggered you to change?
Yeah, I mean, so this is like a conversation that we can go way back and have a really long, hour long, but we don't have time for any of that. So short synopsis, when I was between the ages of 2 and 4, every time my mom would leave for a business trip, I would end up with strep throat. So growing up as a child, I believed that my emotions impacted my physical health. And I was proven that because when she would leave me, I would get sick with strep throat. So I always knew that there's like this emotional mindset and physical reality connection, because it happened to me so often, because then my mom stopped traveling and I stopped getting strep throat. So that all happened. And then when I was 15, I found a tumor in my left breast and had to get surgery for it. So that in itself was a scare at 15. And then when I was 17, I found out that I had a virus in my body that I had gotten. And I'm still like not fully ready to share all the details of that story. But at 17, I started seeing a homeopathist who is also a psychiatrist. And he had told me, well, you can get rid of the viruses in your body. You can kill viruses. Like, you don't need to have this forever. And so I started learning from him about an anti-inflammatory diet and more about homeopathy. And I had seen other practitioners along the way, kind of, but I really got zoned in with the virus. And I was like, great, like, I'm going to get rid of this, because the virus could turn into cancer, right? Like, this is not, I'm not keeping this. Like, I'm going to get rid of it. And so that really was probably what sparked my journey. And then I also learned along the way, especially with the virus and with the tumor, the more I stress about something, because what you think about expands. So if I sit here and I stress, oh my God, I have a tumor. Is it breast cancer? Right? Because when you find a tumor in your breast, you don't know what it is at first. Yeah. You have to get a biopsy and all these things. So if I stress about these things, I am now making my health worse and I'm bringing down my immune system and I am, you know, making my problems worse. So all of that stuff happened. My stomach was in a really bad place in 2012, like really bad. I wasn't eating. I weighed about 105 pounds, I think. I'm 5'5". So I was really, really skinny. I wasn't eating anything. My anxiety in 2012 was really bad. So like, I've had all these different health things along the way. So that all happened. I saw other doctors, other holistic doctors. I did all these different types of diets, et cetera, et cetera. Fast forward to 2018. So in 2016, I started working on my stomach again because it was all in a mucked up state. I went to another doctor. I quit eating all these foods for an entire year, including garlic and apples and bananas, because my bodies were reacting to them. And so what people don't realize is that foods that are good for us, our bodies can still react to, right? Like everyone's like, oh my goodness, garlic is the most best food of ever. I'm like, yeah, well, I was having a reaction to it, so I couldn't eat it for a year. Like, you know, so one of the things that I want everyone to realize is that your body is an individual. Your body is special. So just because something is deemed a health food and that it works for everybody else, it might not work for you. So 2016, I did that. And then in 2018, my stomach had gotten to this point. So I competed in a bodybuilding competition in 2016. And after the competition, my body was wrecked. It like took 3 months for me to get a period back. My stomach hurt so bad. I couldn't eat salads. And then in 2018, in December, December of 2017, I got to this point where I couldn't eat salads again. Like I ate a salad at work 20 minutes after eating it, didn't even eat all of it. I literally was having a panic attack in front of my VP.
Wow.
So I'm like, okay, this is really embarrassing. I'm here at work in utter pain, don't know what to do. Oh my God, I'm going to like cry in front of you guys. My heart is racing. I can't catch my breath. Okay. Like, this is so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start seeing a new functional medicine doctor. January 2018 was when I went to go see him. And I found out that, you know, the gene mutation MTHFR and my amino acids were kaput and my B12 was at a crazy level. My homocysteine level was super high. Like, there were actual physical reasons as to why my body was feeling so stressed and having anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel better because at 8 years old, I started in therapy. And emotionally, you know, I was like, okay, emotionally, I know I'm not okay. My whole life, I know emotionally there's something I have to work on my emotions because I started at eight. So it was really nice that in 2018, I found out that part of my anxiety and my stress was actually physical.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And my methylation process wasn't working properly. And my detoxification wasn't working well. And so it was like, all right, well, all we need to do now is figure out how to get myself working more optimally. And I did start doing celery juice. I do follow Anthony Williams. I do believe in the medical medium. I've been doing some of his stuff since July, which has also helped me tremendously. But, you know, it's definitely been a really long journey of a couple of different health issues that popped up and then really figuring out how can I make my body feel amazing all the time? And I feel like I've actually gotten there.
That's amazing. You know,
right now, just so everybody knows, like right now it's 6:46 a.m. in where I am. And I think I'm pretty high energy, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Whereabouts are you based?
In New York area.
Oh, New York. So cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, you totally are high vibe. That's so cool. So it's really interesting as well that you say that it was like a lot of like real individual work and stuff like that. Like, do you reckon that in order for people to figure that stuff out, they need to go to a professional? Is there things you can do on your own to kind of look into that stuff more in terms of like what's really benefiting you or not? Like, what's your opinion or recommendation for that?
So I feel that it depends what's going on for you. Like for me, I knew I was in pain. Like there were times where I wanted to cry because of how bad my stomach hurt. And I knew that I couldn't figure it out on my own. Mm-hmm. And when I got my blood work done at times, I did know that there were things that just didn't really make sense. So I personally went to go see a professional but when I found my functional medicine doctor, I knew exactly what I wanted. And I knew that I wanted a doctor who would be caring, who would listen to me, who would let me experiment, who wouldn't just give me like a cookie cutter, his typical protocol, who would actually, you know, run through and really figure this out, like figure out this puzzle with me and keep my body in mind that I'm an individual. And I wanted somebody who focused on the mindset, who knew the mindset, who knew MTHFR and was a specialist in that as well. And, you know, had that holistic approach. And so basically the functional medicine doctor that I work with, absolutely love him because he literally like runs my tests and then we talk things through together. And then I kind of come up with a protocol and he kind of is like, okay, that works or it doesn't work. Or he'll give me, you know, he knows supplements in a little bit of a deeper way that I don't know. So he'll give me those supplement recommendations. But when it comes, like if you're somebody who, you know, you're just feeling a little bit sluggish, your health is in pretty good shape, right? Like, you're not being told that you have a thyroid issue. I've been being told that I have a thyroid issue since 2012. I refuse to believe it because I have no symptoms of it. So, oh well, keep telling me it until I see it, whatever. Yeah. I'll keep working on it. But you know, like if you're going to your regular doctor and you're getting a physical and everything's coming out great, but you're just feeling tired or you're feeling a little disgruntled or you're experiencing some stomach stuff, right? Like bloating, maybe cramping, maybe a little bit of an uneasiness, but nothing extreme, then you can definitely experiment with food, right? So just take out, there's five food groups, as you know, that are the most common for sensitivities, gluten, dairy, soy, corn, and peanuts, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you could do is 1 week, you could just take out one of those things. So for an entire week, you remove gluten. Granted, an elimination diet like that is definitely better while working with somebody that can give you a little bit of guidance. But if you are somebody who is totally comfortable of experimenting and your health is fine and you're not taking any medicines and you don't need to talk to a doctor about doing an elimination diet, just experiment. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to miss a food and then you're going to eat it. You know what I mean? Like, So I'm the biggest fan when it comes to experimenting with food. But, you know, the other thing about all of this, and this is the bigger picture, is it's just being aware of how food makes you feel. And that's what you learn when you experiment.
Yeah. And it's so interesting as well how, and I know this from my own healing journey as well with health, is that sometimes as well, a food can be a trigger food, but then one, because there's something wrong, but then once that thing is healed, you can have that food again. Because like, for example, for me, when I was healing my gut, like I did an elimination diet and I found that gluten was like not really serving me. So I cut out gluten. And then about like 6 months later, I can't remember the exact timeline, but I was just curious to see how it would affect me, because by this point it was like I was really feeling healed and like noticing that I wasn't having any of the same symptoms I had been having anymore. So I tried it again and it was absolutely fine. And since then I've been fine eating gluten. So it's also really interesting how, you know, like you can also try things again in the future and you can dabble with different things. And yeah, the body's just so cool.
Yeah. I mean, the body heals itself by itself. You just have to give it the time and space and the ingredients tools, to let it heal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think like one of the other aspects of your story that I find really interesting, which I think could add a lot of value, is the concept and idea around how you've really managed stress and everything. Like, can you talk on that for a little bit?
Definitely. So stress in my mind is really a mindset. Mm-hmm. Right? Stress is what we're thinking and it's what we're putting on ourselves. Because if I ask you, hey, hand me your stress, put it in this bucket, show it to me. You can't hand me anything. You can't show me anything, right? It's imaginary in so many ways. And it's really about our mindset. So one of the things that makes a difference, this is something I've been doing for the last few years, is when we say to ourselves, I have to do blah, blah, blah. I need to do X, Y, Z. It doesn't feel good. It stresses us out more rather than saying, I get to do, you know, I get to do that.
Yeah.
And so being able to get to do something, right? Like for me right now, it's I get to wake up and hop on and record a podcast with you at 6:30 in the morning before I get ready to go to work at 9 a.m. where I have to train 3 new hires. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. But I get to do this. And so I get to wake up excited, like, oh my goodness, I get to have this awesome conversation. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is gonna switch it. Also, So as I mentioned, like I've had anxiety and things like that. So mindfulness and mindfulness techniques are pretty much my life. And I love that feeling. And I don't know how many people can relate to this, but I love the feeling when time stops. I love when you are utterly in the present moment. You have no idea what time it is. Time doesn't feel like it's moving. It doesn't matter. And all you know is what is happening then. Your thoughts don't exist. You're not thinking into the future and you're not thinking into the past. And for me, that is an addictive feeling, right? Like I want to live in that all the time. And so how do you get into that, right? How do you shut off your thoughts? Well, you pay attention. Like for me, the easiest way, and this is the way that I learned when I was 17, is you pay attention to colors around you. You start having a thought, you recognize that you're having a thought that doesn't make you feel good. And then you look around the room and you're like, wow, that red, that looks like the red in the Crayola box. Huh, look at that yellow. That reminds me of a school bus yellow. And once you're saying that and you're being present and you're looking at the room around you and the colors, you're no longer thinking, because the thought that you're thinking is about what color that looks like, right? So now you're in the present moment. And being mindful totally changes the stress game, because what's normally stressing us out are our thoughts about the past or our thoughts about the future. Mm-hmm, so the more we just get present, it really keeps the stress down. Of course, breathing. And so for me, I am going to make this a little bit controversial, because breathing for me can be tricky. Mm-hmm. There are times where I am so stressed out and my anxiety is totally starting to kick in and my heart is starting to race and I feel it. And I'm getting to the point where I'm gulping really hard and I'm getting scared now, because I'm like, oh my God, am I going to throw up? I don't want to throw up. I never throw up. But right, I'm starting to spiral out into this whole anxiety, stress area. Sometimes for me, if I start taking deep breaths, it makes me worse. Sometimes it doesn't. So breathing can be one of those things. Breathing 100% is a tool that you can use where you start taking deep breaths. But if, let's say, you can't take the most deep breath immediately, like that's okay. just become aware of how you're breathing and then start to breathe a little bit more as you can to not stress yourself out more. You know what I mean? Or like even the thoughts of like, oh my goodness, I'm so stressed out right now. Those thoughts are not helping you. The more you tell yourself that you're stressed, the more you're going to feel stressed. So tell yourself that you're calm. Everything's going to be okay. Life happens to me easily and effortlessly. You know, I'm going to be able to get it all done. Everything's going to work out fine. Because a lot of times, and this is the thing about stress, is that a lot of times we're in made up scenarios. We're having conversations that are fake in our mind and assumptions and all this stuff. And it's like, well, let's just really think about what's happening right now. What is going on right now in this moment? Okay, I know that my car got hit. I can't drive it home. Now what? Okay, yeah. I know a tow truck is going to come. Okay, great. You know what I mean? Like, let's just break it down piece by piece and just keep things in perspective and in reality, because I don't know, like there's worrying about stuff and having all these ideas or philosophies or made up scenarios in your mind. Half of them don't even come true. And then you just make yourself feel a certain type of way emotionally. And it's a waste of time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And what you said about the breathing thing is really interesting as well, because like, you're right. Like for some people as well, like, especially when, you're in a state where you're the way that you're breathing isn't, you know, like you might be taking deep breaths, but they might just be like more panicky rather than calming. But one of the interesting things as well that you can do, like how you mentioned as well, like looking around the room, looking at colors, which is a great way to bring yourself back into the present moment. But as well, rather than focusing on, oh, I have to take these deep, like relaxing breaths, also noticing the way that you feel the breath coming into your nose or into your mouth or whatever, like that's another way to bring it back. Or even just imagining on like, this one really helped me when I used to have panic attacks. It's like super random, but you actually just try to feel like with your mind, like feel the feeling around your big toe, like just like bring all of your awareness to the big, your big toe.
And I always do my feet. I love that.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is about the feet, but maybe it's like grounding energy or what, but it's one that really helped me. And cause I used to have like really bad, anxiety and stuff like that when I used to go to sleep. So, I didn't get a lot of sleep. So it was kind of like I had insomnia, but more because I was having anxiety attacks more than actual insomnia. And so I wouldn't sleep very much. And the only way that I could put myself to sleep, once I learned this mindfulness technique, is by doing that. And like, first I'd imagine just my big toe, and then I would imagine like my whole foot. And then I would like move up my body, and always before I got to my head, I'd be asleep. And it was just like a miracle cure.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was so good. Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about how, like, cause obviously you started a business and you were still working a job, and you're still working a job now, but now you're also modeling. So, you're, rather than things getting like less and less and less for you, you went from having a job to having a job in a business, to having a job in business and modeling. And so it's like, a big part of, I think, one of the things that causes stress for people or makes them feel stressed is when they have a lot of things on. Like, how do you manage, or what was that transition like, even from going to like having a job and having a business? Cause I know a lot of the listeners, they're either in early stages of business, or they might still be working a job and starting a business, or they might even be wanting to start a business and still working a job. Like how did that transition work? And like, how did you stay mentally in a good space?
Yes. So I'm actually going to bring you back a little bit further just to show something.
Yeah.
So I was promoted into a new position at my day job, I guess 3 years ago. And 4 months into it, I realized, oh no, this is not for me. And so I decided to take, I decided to go to IIN to become a holistic health coach. And I was doing my holistic health coach stuff while also working a full-time job. And then on top of that, I was competing for a bodybuilding competition. So I was at the gym 6 days a week for an hour every day. So I did all three things at the same time. So I would sometimes be able to study while at my day job, sometimes not. Then I would go to the gym every single night. And then on the weekends, I would really study. So I was already starting to juggle those three things at that time. And then I launched my business. And so one of the funny things about being a health coach and launching your business is that there's a lot of health coaches out there. And when you don't have a niche, it's a little bit more challenging to kind of figure out who your ideal client is and what your target is.
Yeah.
So that in itself was a journey. But my first year of coaching, I was working with a lot of family members and friends who really wanted my help. But I was so stressed out, like beyond the belief stressed out. One, because the role that I was in before was definitely a little bit more stressful in what I was doing, like what time I could leave and things like that. And the person I was working for, I wasn't fully happy there. But I also commute from New York City. So I take the bus home through the Lincoln Tunnel, which means that depending on how traffic is on a given day, I may or may not have made the client sessions that I was having at home via phone. And that stressed me out all the time. And yeah. I'd be like, oh my goodness, I have to get home. And it was things that I had no control over. So yeah. I had to realize that I don't have control over the traffic patterns. Okay, yeah. Well, let me just start my sessions a little bit later and make sure that my sessions will now start at 7 p.m. and no earlier than 7 p.m. because I can't guarantee that I will be home earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So learning experience, right? The coolest thing about having a business, and this is what I learned, is that you dictate your hours. You dictate when you work. It's on you. Mm-hmm. So recently in this year, I've definitely figured it out. I'm an expert in stress. I understand stress impacts us from a physical perspective, an emotional perspective. There's ways that we can manage it through our food, through our thoughts, through exercise, et cetera. But also what I've done, and so I actually have this, it's like the stress-free scheduler, I call it. So I give you guys for free, a month, a week, and a day for you to schedule out your life. And so these are the three types of calendars that I use. I use a monthly calendar for me to figure out, okay, well, what are the big events? Do I have family events? What do I have that's big? I put it on that calendar. Then I'll look at myself in a week. And so what I've done recently is I've allotted that I work Monday, Tuesday, Thursday at night. Wednesday and Friday, I give myself the evenings off. I typically go to the gym or work out. I work Monday through Friday during the afternoon time, 12 to 2. So I'll take calls then. And then I'll build content on a Saturday and a Sunday. And that's what works for me. I'll edit my content on a Saturday or Sunday. I also figure out, well, what is it that I can do while I'm at my day job or while I'm commuting to my day job? I can be on Facebook. I can create content. I can send out email campaigns with AWeber. You know, what is it that I don't need my computer for? Well, I could do everything basically in my business except editing podcast episodes and editing YouTube videos from anywhere, as long as I have a phone. You know, I could post on Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's becoming aware of when do you have 5 or 10 minute pockets? You know, okay, I'm sitting on the bus. All right, cool. I could sit down and visualize, right? And so that's the other piece to all of this is that, and this is something that you had mentioned to me, which we're going to talk about eventually, but it's working smarter, not harder. And so still using the visualization and having more fun, right? Like what I'm learning is that the more fun we have with our business, the more our content is just genuine and people are just more attracted to us and our vibe is higher. And, you know, so having those having that stress, it actually just makes everything really mucky. So it's kind of like a game in my mind of like, well, how less can I stress? Because the less I stress, everything's just going to work out so much better and everything's going to feel better. So let's just like keep it fun and light. And how can I make this fun and light? And, you know, like what kind of person does my audience need? My audience wants somebody who's going to inspire them and motivate them and who's going to show them, well, you know, life isn't all that serious. Like let's look at it for what it is. It's fun. It's joyful, you know?
Yeah, I so agree. And that's like one of my themes for 2019 actually is fun, because it's so true. Like when I'm having more fun, I'm enjoying myself more. And when I'm enjoying myself more, people are more attracted to me and what I'm doing. So it's like kind of a no-brainer.
Right. I mean, the other thing about this, to answer your question even more, is like coming up with days that you're going to work on stuff, like bucketing things, right? Like today I'm going to reach out to 10 people and I'm going to post on Instagram. Okay. Tonight I'm going to record a podcast episode and I'm going to create a new freebie. Okay. Tomorrow I'm going to send an email out. Like it's thinking of, well, what are all the tasks or things that I get to do in my business to really have my business thrive? Okay, well now what days do I want to work out on what? Because sometimes it could be hard for us to go back and forth between different topics, right? Like it might be hard to be in creator mode and then be in connecting mode. So maybe you have like a creation day and then a connecting day or a few hours. So, I mean, all of this is very personal still. Like what is it? But it's just kind of experimenting and playing around and figuring out.
Yeah.
How to balance it.
Are you someone who like finds that when you create a schedule that works for you, it's something that you can kind of like keep sticking at? Is that like how you work, or do you like variety in them as well?
So I've created multiple schedules. My business coach and I keep creating me more schedules, and I still am not sticking with it. And I'm trying to figure out why can I not stick to certain things, but also my life is so busy. So now in my current role and at my 9 to 5, I'm a supervisor and I have a team of 9, and I literally have I technically have 2 open positions that I'm hiring for. I have 2 new people that 3 new people that just started. Everything's all like super crazy hectic. I'm supporting my team. Like it's a very interesting environment right now. So I know I keep getting distracted also because of my day job. So like I keep making the schedule and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stick to this. And I'm sitting here right now 3 weeks into the new year. Like what happened to the schedule?
Yeah. It's really interesting. Like I asked that as well, because I know that there's some people who really thrive on like a routine, right? The same things all the time. And then there's other people who kind of thrive on a little bit more diversity. And for me personally, I'm someone who definitely thrives a little bit more on different types of diversity. But what I found worked really well for me is that I'll create like a schedule or something, right? Like, let's say, for example, like what you were saying, like Fridays are my connection day and Saturdays are my creation day or whatever your kind of themes are. And then I'll obviously like, especially like when I had more stuff on, because now that I do kind of my business full time and everything, there's a lot less stuff that I need to do in my day, like in terms of other commitments. But I would, let's say, work with that schedule for a while. And once I start feeling like I'm really resisting it and I'm suddenly not doing it anymore and I'm just not interested anymore, then I might do it a different way. So I've had like different schedules in so many ways. So I like, just to give like the audience some tips on how I've played around with different schedules, it's like, sometimes I've had themed days. So for example, I'd have Mondays, I do my calls, Tuesdays, I do content creation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, like whatever's important for you and your business. And then other times I've had it though, that like every day I have an hour time slot that I do a specific task. Like, especially if I find myself avoiding tasks, I like to do this one because then it's like a non-negotiable commitment to a task I've been avoiding. And then after that, it's just whatever I want to work on. It's free to just whatever I feel like working on. It's like one, like the commitment to what I've been avoiding, and then I can work on, then it's like the reward. I get to work on whatever else is fun for me. And so with those days, I might schedule in more times versus other ones. It's kind of just like a theme day. So it's like, I can do it whenever I want that day. It's just, that's my focus for the day. Then other times I've had, what else have I done? Sometimes I do things in the morning, sometimes I do things in the afternoon. Like I always kind of play around with it, but I always find that when I find a routine that works for me, it really works for like, you know, a few weeks or even a couple of months. And then as soon as I'm like, okay, I'm getting bored of this, like I'm just not doing it anymore, I'm just not interested, then I'll be like, okay, what can I do differently now? Like, you know, do I need maybe a schedule now that's more free, or do I need a schedule now that's more structured to kind of get me back on flow with what I want to do?
That's amazing. That makes so sense. That makes so much more sense. Totally makes me like feel better about switching all the time.
Yeah. Well, because that's what I found as well, is like exactly what you said, like kind of like the stress of like beating yourself up about things is never productive. And I used to be like that as well, with really beating myself up of like, oh, I have to stick to the schedule and I'm not going to be successful unless I stick to the exact schedule every day. But just like with health, how like, you know, even though it's a health food, it might not be good for you. It's kind of like the same thing with time management and stuff like that. And for me, one of my highest values is freedom. And whenever I feel trapped into something, I can become resistant to it. And so I always like to give myself the just that kind of that little bit of space to be like, you know what, you can actually do whatever you want. And just what we were talking about before, as long as you're having fun with it and as long as it's going well, and if it's not working, then you can change it. And I've had periods of time where my schedule is to do whatever I want every day. And then I'm
awesome.
But you know, when you're really motivated and like, and excited about what you're working on, you don't really need to schedule things in because you just do them anyway. But then there's other times where I'm like, okay, I'm like really getting out of hand. I'm kind of just like pondering around all day and not really being that productive. Then I'm like, okay, it's time to have like maybe a couple of weeks where I'm just a little bit more scheduled to get myself back into a routine. And you know, cause like sometimes you avoid things that are actually so easy, like, for example, setting up a new email list or something like that, that probably won't take you very long, but you just avoid it because it just doesn't feel very fun, or, you know, it's just bigger in your head. But then if you schedule it in and just do it, you're like, oh, that was fine. And then it becomes kind of fun again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love that concept and stuff as well. So, I guess, like, one of the, just to, before we finish off, like, this conversation has been so valuable. I'm wondering if there's, like, any other tips that you want to leave the audience with, or anything else that you feel is really important, especially if they're someone who is really, you know, like, in this stage, or they feel like they've got a lot on, or maybe it's they want to take something else on, but they don't really know how they're going to cope with it. Like, do you have any other advice for them on how to manage the transition, or maybe how to manage the stress or the mindset as they're going through that?
So I'm going to give you guys, like, my top tips when it comes to managing stress overall.
Right? Yes, please.
So, like, how to just feel great. So my first tip is going to be to drink more water. And I say this specifically because so many people do not drink enough water. And if your body is in a dehydrated state, like, you're stressing your body out physically. So just drink more water. So when I say more water, I am talking about, like, 2 liters at minimum a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are going to need more. People might need less, probably not less. 2 liters isn't all that much, but
yeah, it's definitely a minimum.
Right. Like, just go for it and do it every day, because that is going to give you energy. Water gives you so much energy. It's amazing. So instead of having your coffee in the afternoon, have water. That's what I did with one of my clients. Yeah. It definitely made a difference for her. She could feel when she didn't have enough water every day. Like, it truly matters. The next thing I'm going to say is definitely just believe in yourself and keep your mindset in mind and in check, and become aware of your thoughts. And this is crucial, right?
Yeah.
You have to know that you can do it. Like, you have to know that you're always going to be able to find the time. And yes, you might have to make sacrifices, but it's going to be so worth it. And if you want to quit your job in X amount of time, if you want to start something, if you want to feel differently, it's really not as complicated as you might think it's going to be. And so if you could just break down a big goal into little goals and say, okay, today I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do this, you're going to end up achieving that big goal before you even realize it. And having the mindset of, this happens to me easily and effortlessly, right? Life always works out for me. Mm-hmm. I attract my ideal clients. Having those affirmations and creating those thoughts and manifesting, like, there's truth in manifesting. Mm-hmm. I have countless examples that I'm not going to share this time around, but there's truth in your mind and changing your thoughts. And so if you just know that you are able to handle everything and everything that is happening to you, just believe it fully and just know it. Because if something is happening to you, it means that you can handle it. Like, life wouldn't be giving you things that you can't handle. It's not that cruel.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Yeah, I totally agree.
So being aware of your mind makes a difference. Okay, and then the other thing I'm definitely going to say, I guess three more. So pay attention to what you are eating. The foods you are eating are becoming your blood. If you are eating food that does not make you feel good and is giving you indigestion or heartburn or foggy brain or making you feel like you are on the emotional roller coaster or whatever, don't eat that food. Focus on whole foods, things that are not in packages, things that are not chemicalized. If you're going to eat something in a package, look to see that it has 10 ingredients or less. See if you can read all the words on the ingredients, right? Be mindful, right? Your body is a temple. Everything you are putting into it is impacting it. It's going to impact your energy. It's going to impact your brain and how you feel. And when you don't feel good, you cannot show up. Like, it truly is that simple. When you have a fever, you are not thinking straight and you do not want to leave bed. Your body is shivering. Your body is fighting itself. So do what you need to do to feel good, right? Mm-hmm. Eat the right foods. And then exercise. So there is so many proofs and benefits and studies that show that exercise does wonders for us. It's going to reduce our stress levels. It's going to improve our brain, and it's going to give us energy. So just find a way to move. Move for 15 minutes in the day. Always take the stairs when you have the option to, right? Just get up, get away from your desk, do a lap around wherever you are. Just move in any capacity. Find something that you like, experiment, take different classes, try different workouts, jump rope, do a trampoline, like, go on a hike, like, just do something that is fun. Like, dance in your kitchen, do squats while you brush your teeth, like, whatever, just move. Do something different. And then sleep. So sleep is so crucial. And I know before you mentioned that you struggle with sleep. We really got to figure out what is happening with everyone's sleep and figure out ways, whether it be creating a sleep routine that's going to help you unwind and get ready to have a restful night's sleep. And when I'm saying sleep, I'm talking about like 7 or 8 hours every night. That's goal. And yeah, it might sound like a lot. A lot of people say, Chris, I could function on 4 or 5 hours. Oh my goodness, I'm great on 6. Try to get 7 or 8 because mm-hmm. I want to see what happens if you go a week sleeping every night for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And then you go a week sleeping every night for 4 hours. You're going to feel different, right? It's going to impact your food cravings, which is another thing. It's going to impact the way in which you respond to the world because now you're going to have the patience. You're going to be able to be more resilient. So those are definitely my 5 top tips, and they're pretty basic, but when you implement any of those 5, it really does make a difference in how you feel, and it truly does impact your stress because stress is externally, but stress is also internally. So when we're not eating the right foods, when we're not getting the right water, you're internally stressing out your body from like an organ perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I really like to talk about and that I truly want people to understand is that when you manage your internal stress level, everything externally doesn't even bother you. It's like being so aligned and centered and like somebody throwing a dart at you and it's just pinging right off because it can't penetrate through your, you know, your exterior wall. Cause you're like, I'm so calm. I see you. You can't get in, you know? Yeah. And that's what it's about. Like, it's about being able to be so resilient and be able to show up with love to every situation because you feel so good inside that you don't even have anything but love to give out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I would agree with all of those tips that you said as well. They're so important. And with the sleep thing, it's like, that's something that I struggled with like years ago, like nearly 10 years ago. But it's so funny now because I sleep so amazing. And so like quite a lot of people that I've worked with as well with health, but not even just health, like, well, it's always partially health because I always like include that with my work, but like, even just like mindset stuff, it's just so amazing. Like you can actually sleep so well. And the sleep one for me makes a huge difference these days as well, because I just like so appreciate my sleep and love my sleep.
Oh my goodness, I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, well, this has been amazing. Like if the audience wants to connect with you more, which I'm sure they're going to want to like follow you and see your journey a little bit more and connect with you, how can they get in touch with you? Like where's the best place for them to connect?
You find me on Facebook under Crystal Ray, and my name is spelled like crazy weird. So it's KHRYSTLEREA. You can also find me on Instagram. I do a lot of Instagram stories, mm-hmm. and I also go live on Facebook and on Instagram. I also have a Facebook group called A Blissfully Balanced Life that you guys can jump in and connect with me for free and just, you know, be there, and I get to be there to support you and give you guys a ton of value. I also have a podcast called A Blissfully Balanced Life. And I do have a YouTube channel, but we're still revamping that a little bit. But I'm on a lot of the different social media. So you can find me everywhere.
Amazing. That's so good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. It's been amazing having you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited. This is awesome. I appreciate you bringing me on.
Yeah. And to all of the audience, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you. And I so appreciate that you choose to be here during this time over anywhere else. So thank you so much. And we'll see you again next week.